We just left the President's Club with United and now boarding our plane and on our way to Columbus, Ohio for the Magi Fest. So it'll be an interesting one, I think, with Andy Gladwin and Joshua Jay putting us on for the first time. As you know, that last year that they were going to finally suspend it after I don't know how many years, with all the Redcoats having done it with Jeff Hostetler and later with Ron Spangler and others who've done such a wonderful job, Mindy Burden and others. So now they are going to be going in a different direction with Josh and Andy. No Redcoats this year, as I understand it. So it should be a little bit different. Should be a lot of fun, and I'll be giving you all the reports. Also, just a note that I did post on Facebook on the Magic Word podcast page, so you can go to that page and find that from time to time. But on there, I asked, who is it that you would like to have me interview while we're there? So it was a little poll, and if you guys have a chance, you can go and take a look. And that way that I can try to get around to the people that you would like to hear me talk to while we're at the convention here. Well, anyhow, plane's about to take off here shortly. Looks like it's filling up. And we will catch you once we get into Columbus. And it's supposed to be freezing cold there, too. Certainly below the freezing mark. And here we're leaving, you know, Houston with temperatures that are pushing close to 80. So I'm starting to burn up with the sweater I'm wearing right now. So enjoy. This should be a lot of fun. Take care. Scotty out.
No, I'm just not burning.
Well, so now we're here at the Magi Fest, and pretty darn excited because the room, the hallway, the corridor is all full. Hey there, Cosmo. And so it's freezing cold. I landed, and it was 15 degrees. That's above zero, so that's a positive thing.
Yeah, positive.
As opposed to a negative thing being 15 below zero.
Right.
And I'm here then with Carol Baker. Hey, Carol.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Doing great, thank
good.
You. And Ken?
Hi,
Crowder? Oh, sorry.
Crosby.
Sorry, Crosby. Yeah. Good to see both of you guys over here then, too. And so, Ken, by the way, are you from Columbus?
Yes.
Or so?
Rebels,
Virginia,
yeah.
And did you ever work with the Redcoats before with this convention?
Not directly.
Not officially, yeah.
No, not officially.
But you had a Redcoat.
I had a Redcoat. I had one last year for the first time, and then they
they
changed the old guard. So I have a collector's item. Anybody's interested.
So that's not something that you rent. They actually give
no,
it to you.
No, they actually give it to you. Yeah, a whole $37. It's Sears.
Yeah. Okay.
It's worth a lot.
No, you don't want to get too close to a flame with that.
Right, yeah. Right. Super polyester.
Yeah. So anyhow, since you have nothing to do with that, none of the rest of the guys do either, because this stuff can be all completely different.
It's all new. Everybody's different. Yep. The staff is different. There's a good silent partner involved in this. He's been in Magic for a long, long time. Can't wait to see him here this weekend. He's kind of sneaking in and out. And then Josh Jay and Andy Gladwin are going to do a fantastic job with this convention. I'm really thrilled that it hasn't even started yet.
Who's the silent partner?
Tell you right now.
Too silent.
Yeah, too silent. He's not even listed on the website. Yeah.
But it's going to be a surprise.
It's going to be a surprise, yeah.
That'd be very cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Steve Bryant, how are you doing, man? Good to see you then as well, sir. All the way up from Little Egypt, the editor of Little Egypt Gazette, Steve Bryant. Hey, Steve.
Hi, how you doing, Scott?
We
good
talked
to
before.
You.
Where were we last time? I think we did the podcast. We were in Abbott's, weren't we?
Right.
I think that's right.
And you said, what's the magic word?
I did say, what's the magic word?
This time I have it.
Oh, now you have one? What is your magic word?
Mekalekahai, Mekahineho.
I love it. Mekalekahai, Mekachineho. Since it is the magic word name of the podcast, you see, that's why I always like to ask people, what is your favorite? What is your magic word?
I use Purple Puppy Chow. I do a lot of family type style shows, and that's what we use.
And you've been working in restaurants for a long time.
Yeah, 27 years.
We just completed a lecture tour.
Right, 7 cities, 3 weeks.
And that was a lot of fun, I'm sure.
It was a lot of fun. Busy,
yep.
All over the country. So.
And so tell me then about restaurants. I just saw on Facebook here a while back, you said that one of the restaurants...
Yeah, I was working 7 restaurants a week, and then one of the restaurants, the Buffalo Wild Wings, the corporate office decided to cut back because of the economy. They had to change their budgets to handle some of the things that the government's going to inflict on them. And so part of that was cut back the entertainment. And so I lost my Wednesday night spot. So if anybody's looking, I'm available. And then the whole thing is I'm still doing six restaurants a week, and I think that's I'm going to hang on to that for a little while because I'm working with a good group, and it's all for the same company but at different locations.
Tell me about Max and Irma's. Did you work there?
I worked at Max and Irma's for 21 years. I did 8 restaurants a week for them. And when they filed bankruptcy 8, 9 years ago, I had to transfer over. And as I was doing less and less for them. I was doing more and more for the Bag of Nails chain, which is where I'm at now.
It's called what?
The Bag of Nails. The
Bag
old
of
Bag of Nails.
Yeah,
it's a fish and chips place. It's a great place.
And that's a chain also?
Yeah, chain also. Yeah, but they're a mom and pop chain. Yeah, they're here in Columbus.
Okay.
They do have one in Mansfield, one in Cincinnati, but they're still based here in Columbus.
What's your go-to trick?
Go-to trick? If I have to do one trick at a table where I don't have time to do a lot of stuff, I usually, believe it or not, I have this one where you look into a fan of cards and I can tell you what card you're thinking of. And I've been doing that thing for 27 years and I hit it 98% of the time, but the out is better than the actual getting it right. So
you almost wish that you're wrong.
I wish I'm wrong, yeah, because it's so much funnier and you got a much stronger connection to it at the end of the trip.
Is that one of the things you taught during
it? It is one of the things in my lecture, yeah. It's on my my DVD and my e-book that I put out. So
now you, as I recall, a few years ago had lectured then also here at
the Magi Fest, before they made me a red coat. Yeah.
That's right. Just a year before.
Yeah, it was just they had me host an event, just a talk, general talk on, wasn't really a lecture per se, it was more of a talk on restaurants and how to do restaurants. But a year before that, they had me on board as a performer and a lecturer here, and then in 2000 I lectured and performed here at the Magi Fest. So it's been a few years here. But I live in town here and I've been 25 of these, 26 of these, I'm getting old. So
Well, that sounds great. Well, I appreciate it very much. Thanks very much for hanging out over here. Hey, John, what are you hanging on to there, man?
Oh, my sandals?
Come on over here. Got John Sirk from Chicago over here.
Hi, guys.
Hey, John. And last time we talked, I was talking with you and Tomas when we were in Chicago, I think. Well, we were at Abbott's, I believe, though, also.
Well, that was the last time we talked. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But people always like to hear your voice, what you have to say.
Thank you. I'm here at the Magi Fest in an official capacity representing Fun Incorporated.
Oh, you are? Okay, so you got a booth inside.
We don't have a booth, but
so that's what you're walking around this box saying. You want to buy stuff yourself.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, you know, it's a wholesale company. I can't sell. It's a whole thing. I can't sell direct retail because there's a wholesaler. But my hope is to promote some of the new products that we're coming out with this year.
For example?
For example, the one that just came out is called Devious by Mark Calabrese, and it's put out under the Chris Angel Presents line.
Oh, sure.
So
that's on his website, I guess, Chris Angel. Yeah.
Right. We just had our ads published in Genie and Magic, and Chris Angel himself is going to be doing a video for us for Fun Incorporated about our partnership. We're going to be working with him over the next year and putting out a lot of products that are incredibly devious to, sorry for the pun, but they're really great products, and I hope that this weekend will give me a chance to show.
Anything you can give us a tip on right here, because it's going to be
Devious is the one, it just came out about 2 weeks ago, so I don't even know what the next one is going to be.
What's the effect of Devious?
Well, the effect is it's a utility device that would enable you to discover a chosen card from a borrowed deck blindfolded.
Blindfolded. Aren't you afraid that when you take off the blindfold, your audience might have left? I mean, is it deck entertaining?
In my case, they usually do.
Okay.
So, but it's a bonus effect, you know.
Yeah, the vanishing audience.
Vanishing audience.
There you go. Yeah, something else you wouldn't expect altogether over there. Very cool. Now, it's a DVD, you say?
It's a DVD with a gimmick, and I'm also showing around the War of Currents deck for those folks who like the designer gourmet decks of cards.
The
collectors, right. And so we've got the War of Currents deck, which originally started out as a Kickstarter project.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And so they raised the money they needed through Kickstarter, had the deck printed, and Fun Incorporated is the exclusive distributor.
Let me ask you, I, in the back of my mind, have thought, there's so many people who are selling, cards, Blue Crown and so many others coming out with these decks. What approximately does it cost? If you want to have a run of cards, let's say I want to have some with your face on it or something.
That's a hard question to answer because there's a lot of...
$1,000, $10,000? I mean, it depends. Let's say you have 1,000 decks.
It depends on how many decks you want printed, and it depends on who's printing them. And U.S. Playing Card has a program where you can get your deck printed, and you can get smaller quantities, but it depends on the scale, how many you want printed, and some other factors. But it's possible to see your dream printed and shuffled and cut.
I just wonder, when you talk about Kickstarter, it implies that this is not just something that somebody can do because they got an extra $1,000 laying
around. Guys that made this deck are not magicians and not in the magic community.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
So they went on Kickstarter because they wanted to educate the public more about Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla and the War of Currents, AC versus DC.
Yeah.
And they figured that the easiest way to get their message across the broadest possible audience was to do either a board game or a deck of cards, something that people would can play and learn with in their homes. So hence the War of Currents deck.
War of Currents. I see. AC and DC.
Yep.
Now I understand.
Yep.
I was thinking like raisins. You know,
also tasty.
Kind of
yeah.
thing.
Okay. Also tasty. But I can't power a light bulb with that.
No, I guess not. You could with a potato, I understand. But that wouldn't be the same War of Potatoes.
Exactly.
Maybe like an Irish deck or something, you know, whatever that
hey, happens. I didn't say it. You did.
Okay. So you're looking forward to the convention?
Yes, this is my first time at Magi Fest.
You're lying.
I am absolutely
just
not
like
lying.
Down the road from Chicago.
It's about 6 hours, so. Yeah. But I've never been here before, yeah. And I'm happy that there's some people here that I know, but most of the people here I don't. So I'm looking forward to
making new friends
this weekend. Yeah.
Very good. Well, hope you enjoyed. This isn't my first rodeo. This is a very fun event. And you can see that it really makes. And I understand from what Andy and Josh had said, they were expecting like 350 and like 500 registered. And so,
yep.
You know, it's exceeded their expectations so far.
It's going to be fun.
Yep, looking forward to it.
I'm
going to
put on a pot of coffee. I'm not going to get any sleep this weekend.
Okay. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. We'll look around and see who else we can get over here then pretty soon. But for now, Scotty out. All right, well, I just stumbled into the bar, and of course, who would I run into? Of course, here is Simon Lovell, hanging out with Janie Taylor and John Archer. Hey, guys.
Hey! Scott Wells!
So we're all about this.
John, I'm just warning you here, he's stalking me.
That's all right. I'm glad somebody is. The worst bit of news I've had this convention is when Joshua Jay said, I've got to stop you from drinking. I thought well, I'd rather...
Stop him from drinking?
Yeah, he said, try not to let him drink too much, John.
Was that your contract?
Yeah, that's in my contract. I had 4 pages.
You just shouldn't give
hang out with
you
Simon extra. And you hang out with Simon and water down his drink.
You just shouldn't get a contract with me.
Oddly enough, John, that was the same advice I was given about you.
I'll drink to that.
Cheers.
And I didn't get a contract.
Well,
but you got us, darling.
That's what I'm afraid of.
You a slipper or what?
I beg your pardon.
It was a contract.
I have to be nice.
How
for
long
you.
Do we have to keep this clean?
Well, and speaking of which, you were just saying it for tonight, that for your shows here, that you had to eliminate the enough swear words that you had enough time to put in a whole new trick.
That's right. Yes,
why don't you get them all out of your system now, Simon? Come on.
Okay. Bollocks. Bollocks. And Lance Armstrong.
So.
You Lance Armstrong?
No, no.
Could take a little bit of editing.
Lance Armstrong. No.
That was alleged. It was
where
a rumor.
Where is this going?
Out on the Magic Word Podcast.
Right
you know,
now.
No. Tomorrow morning. It'll be going out tomorrow morning.
To Magic Word Podcast people, that last expletive-driven storm of words was actually John Archer's impression of me.
Yes.
And you do the voice brilliantly, John.
I can't do the teeth, though.
But they can't see us on a podcast.
No, that's right. No, nobody would ever believe that my voice is your voice.
Well, I can do John too, you know. Here I am. I'm going to read your minds right now. I want you to think of a number between 1 and 10, but don't think of 7.
It's very good.
It's 5. It's 5. And if it's not 5... Well, you're stupid.
As you can see, I failed in my task of stopping Simon from drinking.
Okay, they're going to cancel your contract, John, I'm afraid. Yes, I think you have to get the money back.
Already?
John, go.
Maybe you should have gotten paid.
I should have got an advance.
That's
you,
right.
You do realize, right. Scott, this could be your most ridiculous podcast yet.
It would run a, yes, close second.
Close second.
Oh, there's a first?
Oh.
What, to me and Paul Gertner or the other one?
That was a good one we had there. What was it, St. Louis we were talking about. But since this is Magic and Martini night, then Jane, you're going to join us here a little short. We're going to have some martinis.
Can I set my clock?
About 8:30. Yeah, set your clock because at 9 o'clock we go in to see Simon over here. And so I was talking to Chris Korn, and Chris said he would join us for martinis. And for those people who are on Facebook who know, you know.
Is this an invite? Have I just had an invite?
Yep, you just had an invite.
I have to join you afterwards because
be my
I do have to do the
you
show.
You do have to do, yeah. That's kind of that is a contract.
And as much as I'd love to be cuddling this beautiful wife of yours all the way through martinis, Darling, will you forgive me?
Okay.
I have to go do a show.
Oh, go work for a living?
Two shows. You've got to do two shows.
Oh, thanks, John.
That's why I wanted to have the martini before your show, so I would enjoy it even more.
Absolutely, dear boy.
And then we can say the word for you.
You can.
I'm going to open a book on the N-word. I'm going to open a book. I'm going to start taking bets. I can make more money than my fee.
For you, remember?
Yes, I do have a book called...
Do you?
That's honestly the title of the book, and it's an entire book about the genealogy and history of how the word came about.
Oh, how it's a noun and adjective.
I thought it was a review.
It can be...
you. And for people listening to this who organized this convention, I'm just getting it out of my system.
Yeah, when you hear all these beep, beep, beeps in the podcast.
So you're just going to run
You're not going to beep it. Are you going to beep it?
I have tender ears.
It's just one big listen. Silent
He's going to beep
first
it,
report.
John. What the f*** is that?
I don't know. It's going to sound like an
darling,
elevator.
Just for me, here is this beautiful young lady behind the bar.
Yes.
Do you know the F word?
Yes.
Could you just say it into this microphone
Frank
for
Parker.
Us?
Frank Parker.
Just say it.
Oh.
See, I'm not the only one that uses that word.
You're not. You're the only one who uses that word as a precursor to the word. Though.
Well, yeah, because if you're going to say it should be followed by, you know, as in, oh, you.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, yeah, fuckity.
I probably won't be using this in my advertising blurb for the church gigs that I do.
No, I think it would be perfect. Christ was f***ed on the cross. I will make you laugh about it.
Yeah?
Now that's an ad campaign.
Right.
Let's
take the beer off him now.
Yeah.
So,
any other questions?
Speaking of churches.
No. Is there anything about magic you want to talk about?
And weddings. Do you do a lot of weddings?
Well, he's been married 83 times.
Right back to that F word again, aren't we?
Any of those Russian brides from the internet have you married?
No, you don't marry them. You just stay with them until they've taken all your money, don't you?
But you just
I've been married 27 years. I'm quite...
Darn, that's magic.
Yeah, I've been happily married for 7 of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been married for 27 years.
Yeah. I would say happily. It seems like, I've been married for 38. Seems like 38 minutes underwater, you know.
But by the way, 27 years married is commendable because that is 5 times longer than both of my marriages put together.
Well, there you go. But there
together,
again,
together.
I am away a lot. That helps. That's a perfect marriage, is just travel away a lot. Go home
once. Right, you get along well.
Yeah. I go home, give her money, and leave again. It's like being divorced.
She keeps saying that.
It is a bit like being divorced.
Right?
It's like being divorced, really. I get access to the kids, and I give her money.
That's what a friend of mine told me. He said that if he ever gets married again, or even thinks about getting married, he's just going to buy the lady a house and then leave her, you know.
Yeah.
Just get rid of it all up front, you know.
But the perfect thing for your podcast, we should mention,
yes,
is we are at
the Magi Fest
which Josh Jay and Andy Nyman have put together after it was cancelled.
Andy Gladwin.
It's an anagram of Nyman. If you cheat at Scrabble, which I do.
Yes. You surprise me.
Yeah, I use the word a lot. But and I spell it Q.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, Josh.
And they put this together after it was cancelled, and they took it over, and they got together, I think, apart from John and I,
a stellar
cast of talent.
Especially the UK guys are going to let it down again.
Of course. Well, you know, the Americans always claim they won the Second World War, and they don't include the English.
Well,
so
they won the end of it.
We did. Well, the Russians did, actually, but... Well, that's by the by. The Magi
Fest... That's under the London Bridge.
Yes.
The Magi Fest is going to be a great weekend.
It's going to be good.
John's going to be brilliant,
Is this going to be like TED Talks? I mean, going to be short types of things?
They're doing some TED Talks, which Andy and Josh have done at the session in the UK, which is a small close-up convention.
That Andy and Josh put on.
Yeah, which was just last week, and I've been to every one apart from one of those. And they're really popular, just this thing of with somebody, getting up, talking to 10 or 15 minutes on a pet subject. It might not be a trick. It might be, you know, about...
A philosophy.
How you handle audience, spectators, or, you know...
How do you pick a spectator?
How do you pick loads and loads of different subjects? I'm doing a little talk on editing and basically how to
for
get
video?
The best out of, editing your act so you get the best out of the comedy and the magic. It's
scripting, kind of?
It's not really scripting. It's
about how to tease them together to make everything work together.
It's about if you're a comedy magician, getting the most out of the comedy and the most out of the magic.
Because that's an important point, John. And you know this
for
the comedy guy. You can't be funny right at the climax of the trick. You can't...
Sometimes I can't be funny at any point during the trick,
But you know the thing. You have to do the comedy, but then you have to let the magic breathe as well.
Yeah, the magic has to breathe, which is why if you're a comedy magician, the hardest thing being a comedy magician is serving the magic.
You have to mix them so they work well together, but they're still separate, right?
But it's funny, if you're a comedy magician, you do a trick, sometimes it'll never get that wow and a gasp that if a straight magician does it, or a mentally, you know, straight mentalist does a trick, the whole audience go wow. But it's almost tempered with that comedy that people, you know, it's almost like the attention slightly taken away from the trick, always because of the jokes and who you are. And the big challenge for a comedy magician is always to serve the magic as best you can.
You have to let it breathe.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Now, John, you do comedy with mentalism too. How do you marry those two?
Well, do you know what? I just did it, and nobody had told me that it couldn't be done. And then after I'd been doing it a while, people started saying you do comedy with mentalism, and I thought, well,
I guess.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought that it wasn't possible. The only reason I really went for mentalism is. I like to use people from the audience, and I found mentalism was a great type of magic that, you know, you always were using spectators. You're working with spectators' thoughts and who they are and what they're doing.
Is there something about it, though, John, where you it's the one area of magic where people can actually believe it's real?
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of that in that.
And I never really wanted my act doesn't... If you look at my act, it never looks like I'm using any props as such. They're always natural things, so I would never use a box that looked like a prop from a magic shop.
You use envelopes,
pens, paper.
Maybe a deck.
I'll use a deck of cards. Is probably the most magical thing I use.
So what do you walk on?
I use a silk hanky for a gag, but I don't really use it as a trick as such.
But you don't walk on like with stage props and tables and all kinds of.
I have a table, but it's just got gaffer tape and pens and books and which is sort of the mentalist approach, I suppose. Mentalists tend to not to use anything that looks magic proper.
Well, if you're going to read minds, you just go out and... Isn't it...
Yeah.
Actually, that's an interesting question for you. Once you've got it right once, you go out and...
I'm hoping for that. This could be the weekend.
Yeah, it could be. You know, think of a word and they think of, I don't know, hippopotamus, and you get it right.
Yeah.
What's the deal on... carrying that on, because now they know you're a mind reader, you can get it right. Is there some kind of thing you have to do to up it each time? Because once you've read their mind, you know you can read their mind, so you might as well say to them, oh, you think of a food, you think of...
Well, that's what it's got to be about, the journey, hasn't it? It's got to be about the journey, just the fun of having it, and also keeping it varied, so it's like, you know, you can do a drawn duplication, but you can't then do another drawn duplication. And with mentalism, there's certain things you can do. You can predict something that's going to happen. You can duplicate somebody's thoughts. But there's only so many ways you can do different things. So the big challenge is, to try and keep each effect feeling like there's something different about it.
Have you noticed, by the way, that so far now we've managed to cut Scott out of the conversation?
I quite like it. How often are we going to do these podcasts, and how are we going to make the money from them, Simon? That's what I want.
Well, that's up to you, because you are my quasi illegitimate manager.
You're my quasi-moto. So I would like to know, though, how do you avoid a mentalism act becoming just a series of predictions?
Well, that is a challenge. And some of it is to try and do so it's not all predictions. Sometimes it's, you don't predict it, but then you divine it. So somebody has a thought and you then.
Yeah.
But effectively, a lot of time, that is what you're doing. You know, you're just, people are thinking things and you tell them what they are, but you've got to do it in different ways. You've got to work with, you know, pictures, you've got to work with words, you've got to work with thoughts, you've got to work with numbers. So you know, and also I think it is good to build. I mean, the envelope routine that people talk about that I do, it's only a 1 in 5 chance,
right?
Effectively, I mean, you know, there's some money involved, but it's a 1 in 5 chance. I would never close with that. That for me is always early. It's normally second item in. So I'll build to that. But it is about building. So, you know, if you do a book test where it's words out of thousands, then you've got less distance to go than if you've just done a thing of a card and a playing card, which is just a 52-1. So I think to try and up the odds.
So each time, you have multiple moments of amazement, I guess. I mean, just trying to get stronger each thing.
Yeah, get stronger, and also, you know, the amount of how impossible something is. You know, if somebody comes on stage and they draw a picture and you duplicate that draw, that's different to you just pointing to somebody in the audience to say, think of anything, and then you tell them what they're thinking.
Right.
Which you could do with pre-show or whatever.
Or book tests.
So,
can I ask you a question, Joe?
Yes.
Because, like, when a mentalist says...
I should ask you some questions. I'm doing all the work here.
I know. Well, I like seeing you work. It makes a change.
Yes.
It's an interesting question for me. But I've always wanted to ask a mentalist. Like, they say,
I don't call myself a mentalist.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, doing
that kind of stuff. You know, you could think of anything and I can define it. And then you give them a book which is limited to, okay, it might be 60,000 words or 100,000 words, but you've limited the choice. And then it's like, choose 2 cards and count to that number. How do you get over that? They could, if you're a mind reader,
justifying why you have to use certain
why you're limiting.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the challenge, really, and it's how you justify the use of.
That's fascinating to me. How do you justify?
Well, you see, that's very good. I do a book test now that uses maps. So it uses map books, sort of an A to Z of London,
like an atlas,
like a street atlas for cities.
Right.
So what I do now is I get them and I do it. I give them a book and I say, well, I want you to go somewhere in the UK, or it could be anywhere in the world, and I give them a load of these different street map booklets, and I say, just open them, think of one. Now, for me, that makes sense, because to ask somebody to think of a random location in a city that they've never been to, they can't do unless they have a guide to help them.
So that's
the latest way I do a book test now, and the reason I came up with that was because I always had that thought of, why should you have to give somebody a book?
But you dig my question on that.
You could read their minds.
Why would you limit?
That's kind of like the Chinese menu. That is the challenge for all mentalists.
Pick one. You know, why not just think of a Chinese food?
But that's the challenge for all mentalists, is to justify why you use. Why does somebody have to do a drawing so you can duplicate it? Why can't they just think of it?
Why?
And of course, but a lot of times mentalists will justify that and say, but by drawing it, you actually strengthen your thoughts. And with pre-show, you know, people will say, I'd like you to, you know, just write down the name of somebody close to you, and just keep looking at a piece of paper throughout the show, and at some point I'll ask you to help me, because that burn that memory into it. And so long as that justification seems fair, then an audience will buy into it.
Right, so it's all about the sale.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
The justification.
It is. But mentalism is all, it is all words, really, in effect.
That's why
mentalism is all about, it's all about how you sell it.
That's why I think a lot of magicians are afraid to do mentalism, because it requires some scripting, as opposed to just buying something in your act that night. You know, you buy a gimmick and then it does it for you, basically, as opposed to doing something where you reach into someone's mind, you mold their mind, you lead them down the road, you know, with your presentation.
And a good mentalism routine can be about one word. It's like Karan's medallion when he says, read out what's inscribed on that medallion.
It's that one word inscribed.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just knowing what word will.
I use a thing, I think, from Andy Nyman's thing, which I have a little Blockbuster card. I say, you know, read what's embossed on this card.
Yeah.
You just think it is.
Exactly. And you know, and all those things where you know, I've asked you to concentrate on something earlier in the show, and you know, it's that dual reality thing of the audience member who you've maybe done. I don't do pre-show, but you know, that thing of, you know,
you don't.
I don't.
Oh my goodness, Rob.
Yeah.
Why?
He's saying that now.
No.
Wait till tomorrow when he's on the show. He's not doing pre-show now.
No, he's not doing it right now.
I love pre-show and what you can do with it. It's just, I think a lot of times, for me, it's just laziness. I don't want to get to a show and think, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. So I've never really done routines that use pre-show. But I've nothing against it at all. I think it's brilliant. It's just for me.
Does that come from years of doing the comedy clubs and things where you have to go in like 10 minutes before you do it?
Sometimes I just get to a gig and it is pretty much set my stuff up to the side while one act's on and then you're on next.
Wouldn't you rather do that than all this... set up.
Yeah, I like it that way. You know, if I could,
so
you know,
I'm the bar and I'm on stage in, I don't know, an hour.
Yeah.
And I've got to go upstairs and get my props set up. I just walk it out and just doing it.
Yeah. No, it's great.
It's the best.
I remember once doing a show, and I was doing an hour show for this private party thing, and it was terrible snow, and I got held up, and I was supposed to be on at 8 o'clock, I think. And it was 8 o'clock and I still wasn't there, and I rang the guy up and said, look, just get somebody to cook for me, I'm going to be there in about 20 minutes. And I literally got there and I walked in the door with my trunk of all my stuff, and I walked in and he said, when should I go? And I said, put me on now. And I walked in, opened my trunk, I have a trunk in the car,
boom,
which has about 3 hours worth of stuff, and I just talked to the audience as I set up my table, I took my stuff off, and it was great. It was fantastic, you know. And I love that thing of just walking on and doing it
almost. Yeah. That's again like a comedy magician who would stand at a microphone and have nothing between the audience except that microphone.
Yeah.
And if you have things you can pull from your pocket, or you have business cards or something that you you know, in a pen or paper, and you're starting to write, it's all you.
Well, it's like Williamson. Just watching Williamson. You could be sat on Williamson and just say, you're on now, and it wouldn't matter. You just know you could just stand up.
Sure.
He wouldn't need anything. He'd just say, give me this, give me that. Yeah. He, you know, pick up a kid.
One of my favorite shows, John, I ever did was when I had to do this gig, and they lost my luggage, and I literally got there as they were introducing me almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And I walked on, I had nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did 45 minutes just talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite shows ever.
Unfortunately, the audience never saw the same thing. Most of them got the money back.
Yeah, they got the money back. That's right.
Were you that guy?
I was the one who hid your luggage.
You led the queue.
Hey, well, speaking of the dealers, by the way, aren't you going to be a dealer? Aren't you open in there?
No, I'm not. I'm not selling anything. I brought nothing. I'm not even selling anything in my legs.
You can't sell anything.
Everything's going through.
Vanishing Ink.
I want to get a couple of your things.
Yeah, get in there, stuff. The envelopes are popular now.
I want to get them.
Yeah. Make sure you get in.
So you're selling all your stuff?
Well, they are. They're selling it for me.
Oh, okay.
And giving me my cut. Yeah. I love Vanishing Ink. They're very, very fair. And they're the people who work with, I think, at the moment, dealer-wise, for me, I just think that...
did you notice
just really, really
plug there? It's like,
what's a plug?
You haven't even talked about Phantasma. I think that's what's amazing then, too, so far.
No, I advise Phantasma, and I'm happy doing that. I'm still writing for White Collar. I will throw in a huge plug here.
Mm?
Yesterday, the updated version of my second deal book came out.
His first deal book wasn't very popular, but the second deal book.
The second deal.
It's an update, the follow-up.
The first
I'm waiting
book,
for the third deal.
They just didn't get it. It was just like how to when deal with a card up on top of the deck.
What's the deal?
But this one is great, though, because it's got like line art from the very first photograph ever taken of a guy of doing the second deal.
Right.
It's got like the very first description ever of the second deal, which for magic guys, they'll think the second deal is quite a new move. It goes back to like 1508.
Wow.
When cards were like, this is going to mean a lot to people on a podcast. Cards were like yay big.
Yeah.
Which is like
6 inches.
6 inches by 3.
So let us use your imagination.
So there's pictures of that in there, and there's extracts from Robert Houdin and other second deal things. And that's the plug for the second deal book. $30. Buy it now. Get them while
they're available. These people aren't at the convention. Where can they get them? Tell them that.
They can get them from Mayedit. mymagic.com or gamblersincorporated.com.
Brilliant.
Hey, Jamie.
Brilliant.
Come on now.
You can edit this slight silence.
I can.
Yeah, what I would do if I were you is cut out all the bit at the beginning.
That was a fun
the
part.
End.
Just
and the end.
Just kind of the middle when John was talking while the rest of us...
Just leave the quiet bit in the middle and think...
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, I've got, I think you have joined the past, Simon, your word, your magic word, and so have you, Janie, I think. Since it's called the Magic Word Podcast, John, let me ask you, what is your magic word? It doesn't have to be like, you know, abracadabra or something like that. You know, what is it? Might be a credo, something you live by.
Yeah.
What is your.
Sorry.
You use that a lot.
I say it a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Without blinking, that's it.
Sorry, they always commonly laugh at that, is what is the full sentence. But yeah, sorry.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Mine is normally.
So we're back over into the dealer's room. How fun. Thanks a lot. For now, Scott.